One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Coming at you out of the Corky Carey Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Corky Carey Irish Pub, Fox's Pizza, Blood Brothers Disposal, and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. Whoa, what a show we got tonight. One of the things I'd like to point out, and is if you guys don't already know, guys, ladies, everybody knows, America's tanking. Frightening what's happening to our country. And more and more concerned every day. And so I wanted to get in touch with an old friend of mine. I think he's been on the show four times. This is his fourth time on the show. He's a Vietnam veteran. He's a recipient of the Bronze Star. 39 years with the Chicago Police Department. An American hero in his own right and just a good friend and an outspoken fella. Chicago Police Department retired. James Duke Alamo Lynch. Alamo, welcome back to the show.
Alamo.
Yeah, his entourage is going nuts right now.
Happy birthday to Ann Margaret today.
Oh, there you go.
She's 80 years old today.
God bless. Yeah. Actually, I thought she would have been older. You know, but
Yeah, she outlived Elvis.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was he, 50 when he died?
I don't know, but I know he was sitting on the toilet seat.
Yeah, couldn't go.
I remember when.
Should have tried some.
He couldn't go, and then he went.
Yeah, right. He went. Yeah.
I remember when he died.
To that big
blue
Hawaii.
It was August of in the 70s sometime.
Yeah.
Anyway, big fan.
Metromucil, Elvis, try it.
Oh, my
God. You know,
God.
You can go then.
I think it was too
Metamucil,
much.
Metamucil,
much drugs was the problem. So anyway, here we are, we're in the midst of a crisis in our city, in our country, in our neighborhoods. Everything is going crazy. When watching all this stuff on TV, the media is against the police. It's terrible what they're doing. I saw they released a videotape today from a police officer's body cam. A guy, Alvarez, and the policeman is chasing the guy. The guy's running. Mm-hmm. He says, drop the gun.
Yeah.
The guy turns around, does not drop the gun. He pops him, and they all go nuts. And it's like, hey,
he
ran, and he had a gun.
Yeah,
that's a way to get your head blown off. So he's gone, you know.
Yeah.
And this stuff keeps happening, and it seems like every time you turn around, they're trying to turn this into an anti-police situation.
Yeah.
Now, you had 39 years on
and 4 months.
39 years and 4 months.
Yeah.
What's your take?
Well, I was involved in my 39-year career, I was involved in 6 or 8 shootings.
Wow.
Because I worked in the ghetto for 15 years.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. This is my theory.
Yeah.
This is why this all happened. You see, the stuff we did 30 years ago wouldn't have even been on the news today.
Oh, no. No.
Times have changed. Like you said, it's very...
Everybody's got cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nobody, you know, they didn't have phones then.
Right. Yeah.
I killed 2 people on this job.
All right, be careful.
All right.
What you're saying.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, I was involved in shootings and...
Justifiable
shootings.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, it didn't hurt that my dad was with the state's attorney's office at the time.
Okay.
But in those days, you see, here's the problem is this. Decent people don't need the police.
Yeah.
I was in Englewood for 15 years. They need the police. And it's funny because 70% of the people I saw polled on Newsmax recently.
Yeah.
I don't watch Fox anymore. I watch Newsmax.
Fox is too liberal
They're gone.
Okay.
Although Tucker Carlson's okay.
He's great.
Hannity's okay, but he talks about himself too much.
Yeah, okay.
Like I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so the decent people don't call the police.
Right.
Because they don't have any reason to.
Well, they got nobody else. The decent people do have to call the police because who are they going to call?
Well, yeah,
I'm
but
talking
I mean,
even about in the
yeah,
ghetto.
But if you're, yeah, but I mean, I was in Inglewood.
Yeah.
Inglewood was 100% African American.
Mm-hmm.
And not to separate them from the rest of the parts of the city, but the police are dealing with the people in Inglewood, and they're all African American.
Yeah.
So everybody you deal with is an African. But we didn't think of it as a racial thing then.
Right.
You did your job. I had two kids named after me because I delivered them.
Wow.
So in the 15 years that I was in Inglewood.
Yeah, you delivered the childbirth.
Oh, yeah. One named Duke and one named Alamo.
You kidding me?
But the girl was named Alamo. The boy was named Duke. But I delivered more than two kids myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I worked a wagon in Inglewood.
Sure.
We took them all to that.
Who was your wagon partner again? It was Irish guy?
Teddy Lyons.
Teddy Lyons, okay.
Teddy Lyons. No, Willie McNamara.
Was that the guy from Ireland?
Yeah, that was the guy from Ireland. That was the guy. We had a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I want to, before I forget, Henry Pierchowski, my wagon partner in 15 years in the first district, is cancer.
Oh.
So I wanted to
say a prayer for him.
Say hello to
Henry.
Him. Great Sox fan. Great Sox fan.
Oh.
And I wanted to say, I call him Hank. He was also a Marine.
How long have you been retired?
10 years.
So you're sitting there watching TV every night.
I can't
night.
Watch it.
Oh,
I can't watch it.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't watch the local news anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's very slanted.
Oh, absolutely.
But even Fox now is, I stopped watching Fox because they're all on this, I don't know, drinking this Kool-Aid that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Now, I'm the third generation on the police force.
Oh, your grandfather was a cop too?
My grandfather was a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And although they were probably corrupt, I'm sure they were, because he loved Al Capone.
Oh, did your grandfather?
Yeah, he loved Al Capone.
Think he was on the payroll?
Southside Irish policeman.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story real quick.
Yeah, please.
The Jenna brothers were gangsters in the 20s.
Oh, sure.
They were aligned with Capone. And my grandfather said he had the crossing of Taylor and Racine.
What, as a cop?
The school crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor and Racine,
Taylor and Racine.
Yeah.
And the Jennas lived on Taylor Street.
And these were mobsters.
These were bad guys.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you a story about them in a minute.
Okay.
Go
so,
ahead. Keep going.
So one of the Jenna kids is crossing the street, and my grandfather hit him in the butt with a stick. And he says, move along, Dago.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the next day,
the kid went
Grandpa, they sent him out to Hagwich, 104th and Avenue
I know.
O.
Well, yeah.
And he said there was nothing there.
Sure.
It was
no
like
issue.
A prairie there.
Yeah.
But that was his post. But he made it back. He made it back. Grandpa Lynch did. We don't really know how many years Grandpa did because he told me he threw his birth certificate overboard on the way over. So
from Ireland?
We don't even know how old he was probably. Yeah. But he had at least 30 years, I know.
So this story was passed down from
him. Passed down.
Yeah.
Move along, Dago.
Right. Well, I'm doing a film right now called In Search of Weeping Jim. That's about a guy who immigrated from Ireland. He got here in 1884, Jim Kearns. Went on, became an alderman and everything. And we're going through all. He was an alderman and then a clerk of the circuit court and then a county treasurer. At the time, county treasurer was the second highest office in the city. And so we're going through all this stuff, and there was a big story. Ricky Barrett, who has been on the show, I think you met Ricky, did a lot of research. The Tribune did a big story about the Jenna brothers.
Yeah.
And there's Jimmy Kearns, the alderman, with the Jenna brothers at some big banquet.
Yeah.
And they were trying to say that he was too tight with them.
Which brings me back to my point.
Yeah.
Policemen usually don't deal with decent. I mean, I shouldn't say decent. I say normal people.
Yeah.
Normal people that obey the law.
Right.
The problem today is there's no respect for the law.
Yes.
Nobody stops when you go to pull them over.
Yeah.
And if they do stop, chances are they got a gun. So I mean, I made a lot of traffic stops on my, and we, in Englewood,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you never, I always went with my gun out.
Yeah. What do you mean out?
Well, out.
Out of the holster.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you never know who you're going to stop.
So you'd approach the car with it in your hand.
I always had my gun out.
That'll keep them on their toes.
Well, they taught us in the academy.
Yeah.
Now, if I was at Roosevelt in Michigan
right.
40 years ago, I wouldn't have had it out.
Sure. Yeah.
But at 55th and Halstead in 74, you better have it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you never know. Here's my theory. Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, tell me.
They're not going to have to defund the police.
Better not.
Because they're all leaving.
They are.
Newsmax,
they're all retiring.
5,500 New York City policemen put their papers in.
5,500?
5,500.
Wow.
Chicago, I was working last week. And all
so
the
you still work part-time?
I'm still working, yeah. Because of that shooting, the kid, the Toledo.
Toledo, yeah.
The 13-year-old kid.
Yeah, yeah. Also had a gun.
Plus, you know, got the immigration people downtown demonstrating.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Everybody.
And
I
Chicago's
don't, I
a sanctuary city.
Over a
so,
year. I won't go down.
Well, I went to my skin doctor 2 weeks ago.
Where's he at?
He's downtown.
Yeah.
And it's like a ghost town.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's like a ghost town.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. We had riots here for a year in this country.
Yeah.
Now.
You mean starting last,
well,
in 2020.
After the Floyd.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, I want to say this about Chauvin, that policeman.
Yes.
He should go to jail.
Oh, really?
Because he's stupid. Everybody has a camera today.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the shootings I was involved in, nobody had a phone. Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just went by what you said.
Yeah.
Well, I had to shoot him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They were justifiable shootings, so I never shot anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I sound like the Duke here, but I never shot nobody. I didn't have to.
Okay.
You know? Now, here's the difference in the police force. And I came on in 71, and I was back from Vietnam for a year. So they were, you know, they wanted to hire the vets. Because
why not?
Because it was a different police force then.
Yes.
It was an aggressive, let's get the guns and everything off the street.
Off the street. Mm-hmm.
And Chicago has very strict. See, nobody ever says this.
Yeah.
They already have very strict,
very strict gun laws
in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do they get the guns? Where do these bad guys get the guns? They're not going to Midwest gun store.
No, they're not buying them in Indiana either.
Right.
Yeah.
So where do they get them?
Illegally.
And they were all better armed than we were.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I'm glad I'm retired. I couldn't do it now.
Well,
I'd either be in prison. Or I'd be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were an aggressive policeman, chances are, the only time I ever got in trouble on this job was when I did something.
Yeah.
We had guys who sat in the car.
Wait, what does that mean?
Well, that means if you do something.
Yeah.
If you, you know, you chase the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Go after him.
Yeah.
Traffic stops were the domestic disturbances were the worst.
Sure.
Because you'd have it settled down, and then somebody would turn on you.
Yeah.
Interesting story.
Those are supposed to be the
scary. They're the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Traffic stops were. But I worked a wagon, so we didn't make a lot of traffic stops.
Yeah.
But.
You were cleanup, basically.
I was the cleanup guy.
Yeah, yeah.
After.
Yeah, after they shot somebody.
So I got to tell this story.
Yeah.
I didn't tell it before. But it reminded me. The turkey leg homicide.
Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving, 76.
Yeah.
So me and Leroy had a call of shots fired. Uh-oh. So, you know.
And this is you guys around the
I always carry two guns.
Leroy was your partner?
McNamara.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
We always carry two
I
guns.
I thought you were making a euphemism for another officer.
So what happened was we get in there. The door was open. It was an apartment.
Yeah.
We go in.
Where was it? In Englewood?
In Englewood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget exactly where, but it was in Englewood. Yeah. They're all sitting at the table.
For Thanksgiving.
And I look around, and there's a guy laying on the floor.
Oh.
And they're all still eating.
They're still eating.
They're still eating. And what happened was the brother, I guess he took the last turkey leg.
Yeah.
So his brother said, shot him.
Yeah.
We got there. He was eating the turkey leg.
Yeah.
I said,
Everybody continued eating.
I've seen it all.
Hey, could you pass me that
pie? Just shot his brother.
Yeah.
Killed him.
Oh, my God.
At the table.
Yeah.
You know? So... So we were putting the handcuffs on him, and I knocked the turkey leg out of his mouth. And he didn't even
flinch.
My dad always said being a homicide detective in Chicago was the easiest job in the world.
Uh-huh.
Because you'd get there and you'd say, who shot him? And they'd say,
he did.
Oh, yeah, Fluky, he lives right over there. Yeah. And you'd go over there and Fluky would be asleep. You put the handcuffs on him.
Yeah.
Being a homicide dick was very, very easy.
Yeah.
Well, they called them dicks. I didn't mean that bad.
All right. But your dad was the homicide detective.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was in the Panther.
You were not a detective.
No, I never wanted to be.
Yeah, okay.
Because
your dad was in the Panther.
I didn't know how to type, anyways. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
He was with Fred Hampton and all
and
that.
And he was
stuff.
With the Hampton yeah. Clark.
Yeah? Okay.
Who yeah. they named streets after, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
By the way, George Floyd is every street in Chicago.
Tell me about
is
it.
It's going to be named George Floyd Street now.
Oh, it's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, about 3 months ago, I was at Oakwood Cemetery where the big Colosimo was.
Oh, Jim Colosimo.
I had the detail that night.
Yeah.
I had to sit in the grave, the cemetery overnight.
Oh, you were guarding
him. Because I got a picture of his.
It's radio. Can't show pictures.
I know, but I wanted to show it to you.
Okay.
There's big Colosimo.
Oh, there's
mausoleum.
His
mausoleum.
Yeah, that's his mausoleum. Yeah.
So I told this story before.
Now, where is this?
That's in Oakwoods.
In Springfield, Illinois.
No, here.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I know where it is.
Is that
it's, where all the, it's where all the gang funerals are now, right?
Yeah. What's his name? Willie Stokes is buried
oh,
there.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. I took him to the morgue, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
This was the night of his funeral that you had to.
No, that was I took that to when I had the detail.
Oh. Okay.
When the sun came up. I waited till the sun came
but
up.
But why were you there?
Okay, here's what happened.
Yeah.
On the anniversary of his killing, Al Capone supposedly killed him.
Yeah.
In the vestibule of his Four Deuces restaurant, which is at 2122 South Wabash.
Right.
Four Deuces. Or 2222, I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's why they called it the Four Deuces.
Four Deuces, yeah.
So the reason Colosimo was killed was Johnny Torrio wanted to get into bootlegging.
Yeah.
And Johnny Torrio and Big Jim Colosimo didn't want to.
Yeah.
So the only way they could. He was the boss.
Yeah.
So they had to get rid of him.
Remove the boss.
So on the anniversary of his demise, somebody called up the station and said they were going to steal his. He was supposedly buried with 245s.
Now, what anniversary was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Years.
He was killed in 1921.
All right. So this was in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, this was in the 70s probably.
Okay.
But anyway, they said they were going to steal his 45s, and he was supposedly interred with a lot of jewelry.
Ah, yeah.
So,
you were sent there to
get. I was sent there. I was working midnights, and I was in 22 here.
Yeah.
And the guy said, "Duke, we need somebody to go sit in the cemetery overnight." Nobody wanted to.
Yeah.
And he said, "I knew you grew up over there."
Yeah.
So you go. So.
Where is it? 66th and what?
It's at 71st and Cottage.
Oh wow! Okay.
67.
Sure.
By the way, that's where the Confederate memorial from the Confederate dead from Camp Douglas are all buried there. There's 6,000 Confederates buried there.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I was there a little while ago was they were going to tear this statue down.
You're a reenactor.
I'm a reenactor of the Confederate soldier.
Yeah.
But because Ida B. Wells is buried there, Harold Washington's buried there. And it's an old, old, old cemetery. I mean, it was non-secular.
Yeah.
Colosimo was buried there. Because he was divorced.
Ah,
he wouldn't bury him in a Catholic cemetery.
Yeah.
Now, I asked my dad this once. I had the Cardinal Bernadine detail when he died.
And that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. And that was
Joe B.
Well, my dad said, make sure you get.
I was a big fan of his.
Yeah. And my dad said, make sure you get a mass guard for me.
Oh, good
I
for
said,
him.
Okay. Yeah. So I asked my dad, I gave him the mask. I got to have him, I gave him the mass guard, and I said, why is it, Dad, that Deanie O'Banion, Frank Nitti, Capone, Giancana's buried there, too?
Yeah.
How did they all get buried in a Catholic cemetery?
Right? When they were criminals.
They were criminals.
Yeah.
But, my dad said, well, if you pay enough. Because the Cardinals are buried there.
Sure.
They're in the same cemetery
they
as
are.
The Cardinals.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always thought that was kind of unusual.
Well, you know what? Mount Carmel has a Cardinal mausoleum, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what Cardinals are there, but.
Yeah. Because
so go back to You were there that night.
I was there that night. Okay, yeah, so.
This was the anniversary of.
So he didn't tell me where the grave was.
Oh, you had to go find it by yourself?
It was dark.
In the dark, yeah.
The grave, what do you call him, groundskeeper, led me in.
Yeah.
And this is at 12 o'clock at night.
Midnight.
At midnight. Yeah. The bewitching hour.
Yeah.
So I stopped and get a 12-pack. I was still drinking then. So,
okay.
So I had, and I knew the neighborhood. You know, I grew up
there. Sure, you know the neighborhood.
So, the guy lets me in, but he doesn't tell me where the mausoleum is.
Yeah, so you got to drive around.
And it's an old cemetery, you know.
Yeah.
So I ran over a few graves, you know, after a few, I found it by accident.
Yes.
I just happened to, there was a garbage can there. I was going to throw my empty beer cans away.
Yeah.
And there it was.
There it was right in front of you.
They wouldn't have known if I was sitting in front of it or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I figured, well, I said I'd do it, so I'll
here I am. Yeah.
Nobody came to steal his stuff.
Nobody even showed up, yeah.
But the hardest part was driving home in the morning because I was...
And that morning you took a photo of it.
Yeah, I took a photo of
it.
Yeah. And when my buddy came in from Tennessee 2 years ago, he's a big... Chicago gangsters are very, you know, they're well known.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, when I went in the Marine Corps in 68, when they heard you were from Chicago, they all went,
because
that's what Chicago's known for.
Yeah.
That and hot dogs.
Yeah.
And pizza. By the way, I put ketchup on my hot dog.
Oh, no. Get off the show.
So 2005, I'm at the World Series with the mayor.
Yes. Oh, this is
funny. I came back with a hot dog, and I had ketchup on it.
At a Sox game.
At a Sox game. With the World Series.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So Duke, he called me Duke. He says, Duke, go get me a hot dog and get yourself another one, but don't put ketchup on it.
Yes.
How can you put ketchup on a hot dog? Yeah. I said, well, I don't know. I'm Irish, you know.
I know. That has nothing to do with being Irish.
Yeah. So anyway, what I did was I put ketchup on the one, and I didn't put ketchup on the other one. But I gave him the one with the ketchup.
Just to mess with
him. Just to piss him off.
Yeah.
I told you not to get
it. This is Richard M.
This
Daly.
This is King Jr.
Yeah.
This is
the
mini-me.
Richie. The mini-me.
I shouldn't. You know what? I loved him.
Yeah, he was good to
he
you.
He was so great to me.
Yeah.
When my father passed away. Frank knew my father.
Ah, Frankie Moran is here, folks.
Frank Moran's in the house.
Yeah.
Frank knew my father.
Okay.
Yeah. And when my dad passed away, he went.
Did he really?
Went
to
the
wake. Went to the wake. God bless him.
Went to the wake. That's when they still had wakes.
Where was your dad waked?
On 55th and in LaGrange.
Who did it? Who did the funeral, you know?
She.
She? That's great. That's where all the right people go.
That's where my sister was also. And my mother was buried there, too.
Oh, no kidding.
And that's probably where I'll be waked, too.
Good.
That's a long time off.
I'm
71, so. Okay. My dad lived to be 87, so
yeah, sure. You got.
I want to surpass him.
You got plenty of time.
By the way, not to change the subject, but I know
already changed it like 20 times.
Okay. The other last week, Autopsy was on.
What's
and they
that?
Had the Duke on.
Oh, is that a movie he made?
It's they do the autopsies of stars.
Oh, I didn't know there was.
And that
such
was
a
the
film.
First time that the Duke was on.
They did an autopsy of John Wayne.
Yeah,
on TV.
Well, no, they didn't autopsy him. They talked about. What
life.
Killed him?
Oh, cancer.
Yeah, cancer.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say was I always figured that he died because he made the conqueror in the Mojave Desert after the blast.
After and, like, what blast?
The nuclear blast. The atom bomb blast.
A test. Yes.
Yeah. This was in 57.
Yeah.
So 100 people that were in the cast and crew of that movie all got cancer.
No.
And I always figured that's what. Killed him.
Yeah. He also smoked.
And it's 5 packs a day.
Yeah. Okay. Five packs.
And he smoked Camels unfiltered.
Oh, wow.
You had to be tough to smoke Camels.
You know, I remember the movie The Shootist.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Oh, he looked.
He plays a guy who's dying of cancer.
John Barnard Brooks.
Oh, he was dynamite. And Lauren Bacall.
She still looked good.
She was great. And then Ronnie Howard's
Ronnie
in
Howard.
It.
Yeah. I drove Ronnie Howard around when
no
they were
kidding.
Doing. When they were doing Backdraft.
Yeah.
And I did the one of the lines from The Shootist for him.
Yeah, he did.
And he said, friend, there's nobody up there shooting back at you. It isn't always being fast or accurate that counts. It's being willing. And Ron Howard said, he was sitting in the back seat.
Yeah.
He said, Duke, that's terrific. Watch the goddamn road, will you? Because I was driving. And I was talking like this. You know? Yeah. He said, that's the best Duke I ever heard. He said he was the greatest guy.
You know, and I hate to depart on this, but just to let our audience get caught up to date, as a kid, your dad took you to see the movie Alamo.
I was 10.
And you thought this is the greatest thing
ever. This is the greatest thing in the world.
And you became enamored with John Wayne and the whole American mystique of the cowboy and everything.
Yeah.
And you started cutting school.
Cutting school, fifth grade.
And then you had to repeat fifth grade because you were going over to the Jeffrey Theater.
Twice. Okay. I sat through it twice for a month. Well, I'm sorry, not a month. Probably like 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
So it was almost done.
All right,
but, you know, in those days, it was 35 cents to get in. Remember, Frank, it was 35 cents?
All right, so.
And I didn't have any money.
Let me finish this. Right. So you do all this.
Right.
You got to repeat fifth grade because of John Wayne and the Duke, and you have this thing. Then you go to Vietnam. You get wounded. You go through all this, and at the end of your tour, you're in L.A., and you're in the Officers Club.
EM Club.
What is the EM?
Enlisted Men's.
Enlisted Men's Club.
Yeah.
John Wayne calls the club.
Yeah.
You got any Marines over there?
Just back from Vietnam, he wanted.
Oh,
he wanted the guys just back from Vietnam.
And they put him on a bus, and you go.
I said,
you know what that is? That is the hand of God, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
And then you walk in, and there's Ed McMahon in the basement. Yeah. Hey, here's the beers, guys.
The Budweiser machine.
That's one of the greatest stories.
I got to tell you, I don't know if I said this before. Yeah. There was 20 of us.
Yes.
We had a Medal of Honor winner with us.
Yeah?
What's his name?
Do you remember?
No.
Oh.
Sergeant Major who was in Korea.
Yeah. Oh, and he was crying.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
He was crying.
Yeah.
Now, John Wayne didn't serve, but every billet I ever went into in the Marine Corps had his picture.
Yeah, sure.
Because of Sergeant Stryker, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many guys went in the Marine Corps because of...
From the sands of Iwo Jima.
From the sands of Iwo Jima. How many Japs know your name, Stryker?
Okay.
That's Bash. You know his voice. But you know what? I'm kind of torn about that because he should have gone.
All right. He was an American hero and a terrific actor and everything else. Let's get back to the situation with the police now.
Okay.
They're calling for defunding the police.
But they won't have to because they're all leaving.
Yeah, but what are we going to do? That's the whole
idea.
Well,
here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Go get an AR-15. I got one.
Yeah.
I got one about a year ago.
An AR-15, yeah.
Because here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The police are not going to come.
Yeah, when you call them. Help.
Help. Yeah. There will be no police. It's going to be like the Old West, where you have to defend your own home from the Comanches.
They're shooting people on the expressways now.
Yeah. I was on the expressway the other day. 290 was
closed. We were here on the way down.
For 3 hours.
Charlotte was ducking in the back seat.
Yeah. Well, that 7-year-old kid got shot in the
McDonald's drive-thru.
Drive-thru.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, I just don't
understand. Society has fallen apart.
I just don't get it. It's not only the police either. My daughter teaches fifth grade.
Yeah.
Over here at Christina's.
Oh, St. Christina's,
And they wanted her to teach not a white supremacy class, but a...
That 1916 thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nuts. It's not 90. What is it?
Yeah.
16, whatever.
Whatever it is.
It's some racist thing.
But, you know, it's a Catholic school.
Are they nuts?
They're nuts.
And she's a teacher there.
Well, you know, here's the problem.
Yeah.
The college kids during the Vietnam War were the ones demonstrating and... But they weren't insane like these
people. I never went as far as demonstrating.
Yeah. But my sister was against the war because I was there.
She wouldn't demonstrate.
Because my brother's there.
Yes.
You know, the sad thing is the Midwest, the media is controlled by the left coast and the
West Coast.
The West Coast. Yeah. The commie coast.
The East Coast.
So
and
they
the
control
coast.
The media.
Yes.
And they control this Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
I canceled my...
Facebook,
yeah.
Google,
I canceled.
All that.
I didn't cancel my Facebook, but I canceled in Xfinity.
Yeah.
Was it Xfinity that I canceled?
Yes, Xfinity is cable.
Because
Comcast.
They sent $14 million to Black Lives Matter.
Oh, okay.
Amazon sent 12.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
then she goes out and buys all these mansions.
Three mansions.
Yeah.
In a nice section of L.A.
Sure, the white section.
Yeah. So, and I see these people coming over the border, like the North Wall at the
Alamo.
Yeah. I mean, they're piling over.
Yeah, big time.
I don't have anything against people coming here.
Yeah.
My grandparents came here legally.
Yeah.
They went through the thing. They came here legally. Yeah. What's wrong with coming here legally? I don't understand. You've got decent people that are waiting to get here.
Yep.
And they can't because all these other people are coming.
They won't let the Irish in. You know,
we had signs up, no Irish need apply.
Yeah.
We didn't get an Irish Catholic president until 1960. So, I mean, we were kind of crapped on, too.
You know what? This guy is passing himself off as an Irish Catholic now. Forget it. He's a bum.
Well, did you read the card the Pope said?
What did he say? Which Pope are you talking about?
This one.
Frank?
You know, yeah, whatever his name
Francis?
Is.
Francis? Yes.
That if you still believe in abortion, you can't receive communion.
Yeah, he's right.
So Biden won't be going to communion.
Yeah.
Well, he'll My dad was a Roosevelt Democrat.
Yes.
Because he grew up in the Depression.
Yeah.
So, and I don't really blame him for that. He loved John Kennedy.
Yeah.
He was a big John Kennedy guy. Yeah. And we all liked Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Remember, they let us go home the day he was killed?
I remember. I was there, Mount Carmel, they sent us freshman home. Year. We all got down and said the rosary first. Yeah. It was heavy duty.
My grandmother said the rosary that day, too. God bless her. Yeah. By the way, my grandfather was waked at home.
Oh, yeah.
On the old Murphy
school.
Bed.
Yeah.
The old Murphy bed. You had to pull it down. I don't know. My grandmother, she slept on that bed after the wake.
Yeah.
They were tough.
Yeah.
They were tough people. And my grandmother was the only one who would let us watch Shock Theater.
Shock Theater?
Remember Shock Theater?
Absolutely. It's a great show.
Well, my parents wouldn't let me watch it because it was on at midnight. Right?
He's nodding. He has a bobblehead of John Wayne, and he's nodding.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Now you say Shack Theater, and people go, what?
What?
They know Svengoolie.
He was a predecessor.
But Shack Theater was the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was on at midnight. My grandmother would let you watch it, but you had to watch Lawrence Welk.
To get to it.
She loved Lawrence Welk.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was from Chicago, by the way.
Who, Lawrence Welk?
Lawrence Welk. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What I want to say this. This is my theory.
Theory.
And it's not a good one. Yeah. I mean, it's not looking good. The summer is going to be really bad.
Yeah, it's
going to
be tough.
It's going to be a real bad.
But here's what I think. Yes, a lot of the police are going to leave. But we've interviewed an awful lot of cops on this show. And I say, and one of them, and they, by and large, they always say, you know what? We got to have good guys.
Yeah.
And they still believe, God bless them.
Yeah.
There are still honest, uprighteous cops who want to help.
How to help people.
And that's what they're here for. They're here to help their fellow man and risk their lives doing it.
Well,
I don't think that's going to go away. I think, first of all, I think we're going to hit a limit, and then everybody's going to go, enough with this crap.
Yeah. Well, you've got guys with like 3 or 4 years quitting.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you've got a degree,
they don't see a future.
They don't see a future.
Yeah.
Well, you can. You know, I never worried about getting killed, and I've been shot.
Yes, you know,
76, I got shot.
Yeah. In the gut.
In the gut too.
Yeah.
Mr. Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very painful. I never worried about getting killed because you can't. You wouldn't go to work.
Yeah.
If you did.
Yeah.
So
fear. Don't let fear ruin your.
Especially after Vietnam.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid of too much. Yeah. You know, I mean, 68 was not a good year to go in the Marine Corps because you knew you were going to go to Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah.
Every Marine went to Vietnam. Everybody.
Sure, of course.
Cooks, even the cooks went.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I love my country. This country has been very good to me.
My country, tis of thee.
And we were going to send my grandmother back to Ireland for her birthday.
Yeah.
She was 80. And I don't know if I can say this on the air, but she said, and my grandmother never swore.
Yeah.
Said the rosary every night. She said, why step in sh** when you can fly over it? Why do you think I came here?
Make a note of that, will you?
Why do you think I came here?
To get out of it.
Now, instead of coming here and ruining this country, why don't these people try to make their own countries better?
Yeah.
Guatemala, El Salvador.
Well, they want the free stuff.
Well, that's why they're coming.
Socialism. We're becoming.
And they're tearing the wall down.
This is becoming a socialist country.
And is. Yeah. And the college kids. Well, I was going to say about Vietnam was the college kids that were demonstrating because it was in the demonstration.
Sure.
But now it's the college kids are learning that America is evil.
Yeah. Not just the college kids.
Well,
they're indoctrinating kids at a much younger level.
Younger too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Like grammar school kids.
Yeah.
And if you grow up learning that,
it's terrible.
Would you spend $50,000 a year to send your kid to a college and have him turn out to be a communist?
And hating you.
And hating you.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
You know, LeBron James, I want to get this
in. Let's get him under the bus. Let's throw him.
This guy,
he's a piece of shit.
You know why Pelosi, Schumer, all these people are passing all this stuff? None of it affects them.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own security. They live in a mansion high up on a hill.
Yeah.
LeBron James is a multi-million dollar.
Probably
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
All these people. L.A., San Francisco used to be beautiful cities. They're gone.
Yep. They're terrible. Well, Chicago was once a beautiful city, I might add. You know?
Yeah.
Take a look at it now.
You can't go. Well, we'll see what happens this time. Then he had the virus, and that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
But you know what, Schumer, they're not affected by any of this.
No, no.
They're not affected by the crime. They're not affected by all these illegals coming in here.
No.
So I don't know.
Those are future Democratic voters.
And workers for the rich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if California's going to, it's going to end up in
San Andreas
fault.
They voted to recall Gavin Newsom, did you see
that?
Yeah,
but he'll stay.
Yeah.
And you know, Cuomo's going to stay in New York.
Cuomo.
Yeah. I mean,
Cuomo.
You know, everybody's talking about the sexual harassment stuff.
Yeah.
This guy killed 12,000 people.
I think it
was
6,000.
That's almost a Holocaust.
I know. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Instead of going after Hitler.
Yeah.
We should have
You're on shaky ground, pal.
Really?
I don't know where you're going with
this.
Okay,
but let me finish.
Okay.
We should have gone after Stalin.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Because Hitler was a bad guy. But Stalin was a demon. Stalin was evil.
Yeah. They're all evil.
You know why?
As far as I'm concerned, all politicians are evil.
Communism doesn't work because here's what happened.
Yeah.
I saw this thing on Stalin the other day. And
what, a biography thing or what?
Yeah, like 5 million peasants died.
Sure.
Because they would get their crops in and he would come and take them.
Yeah.
And they'd starve to death.
Yeah.
That's communism.
Yeah.
That's what communism is.
It's coming.
That's what Biden and these people don't realize.
Yeah. Okay.
They want to put us all on socialism.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work. Look at Venezuela.
I'll tell you what. If there's no police, nothing's going to work.
Well, that's a problem. That's going to be a problem. That goes back to my theory that we're all going to have to take care of ourselves.
Second Amendment. Yeah.
God and guns.
Okay.
You know, you go down south. I go down south a lot.
Yeah.
There are a lot of militia groups down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not going to let them take their guns away.
Good for them.
Well, you know, I the way things are, I live in Harwood Heights.
Don't tell where you live.
Oh, okay.
Especially after some of the things you just said.
So, but I want to say that
somewhere in Harwood Heights,
the shootings I was involved in.
Listen, they're coming for you right now.
Yeah. The shootings I was involved in.
Yes.
Were good shootings.
Justifiable. Yeah.
Most of the police shootings are justifiable.
I agree.
What's going to happen is the police aren't going to do anything anymore because they don't want to go to prison.
Sure, they don't want to. You know, here's the thing that I think. They give you all these statistics about black officers killing white. That's minuscule.
Yeah.
Most of the crime is black-on-black crime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So who are they kidding? But it's all, they perpetrate lies. Well, people are buying it. They're believing it.
They're believing. They're giving them money.
Yes.
You know what? They talk like the police force is all a bunch of white Klansmen.
Yeah.
There's Hispanics. There's African Americans.
Yeah.
There's black women on the job.
Yeah.
So when you say defund the police, it's not just a bunch of white policemen you're going to defund.
Right.
There's black police. Some of my best guys that I ever worked with were African American.
Right.
And African American saved my life in Vietnam, pushed me in the rice paddy.
That's right. What was his name?
Eddie Avery. He was killed 2 weeks
you
later.
You stepped on a landmine.
The point man.
He pushed you
the
in.
The point man tripped the booby trap.
Yeah.
I was the fourth man back. I was the radio man.
Wow.
Eddie pushed me in the rice paddy. All I lost was my hearing in this ear, and my leg got all screwed up. And then they put me in the helicopter.
And you fell out.
And I fell out. And I broke my other leg.
We got to go.
You got to go?
Yeah. Yes.
God bless America.
That's right.
Land that
Alamo,
I love.
You got to come back.
Oh, I will.
Always, you know, and I know many of our guys in our audience are loving this. So
I want to say one thing.
Yes,
I want to thank my son, Bear, for giving me this. It's the flag, and it's made out of a parachute.
Oh, that's cool.
So I got that. And I got my support, the police.
And you just came back from
Iowa.
Winterset, Iowa.
Home of
the
birthplace of the Duke.
Yeah.
Next to my dad, the greatest guy in the world.
Remember that, folks.
Yeah.
You heard him here on
and
Hibernian
you know what?
Radio.
Charlotte's going to learn about the Duke this weekend. She's going to watch all three of those
movies.
She's
so excited.
Especially the Alamo.
We're going to take a little break here on Alamo, thank you again for your service
Irish.
To our country, to our city. God bless you.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
And we're back after a raucous interview with none other than James Duke Alamo Lynch. He's always got plenty to say, I can tell you that. All right, Billy. You know, I'm walking down Western Avenue, and I look in the window, Ken's, Rock's, Hearts, Cork and Kerry, any of those great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, holy, who died?" Late breaking news is that Michael Collins, astronaut from the Apollo mission, he flew to the moon, but he never left the spacecraft. An Irish American, I might add. I don't have his obit or anything, but God rest his soul. Michael Collins, Irish American astronaut, died today. He'll be missed, and we'll talk about him next week. Okay, now, Lawrence Lynch, 51, passed away suddenly, April 6th. Beloved son of the late Geraldine and the late Lawrence R. Lynch Sr., loving brother of Kathy. Retired sergeant, Cook County Sheriff's Office. Now, Kathy is an old friend of ours. She was on the show last summer. Her husband, Jeff, is a good friend of the show with the Emerald Society. He also was with the Chicago Cook County Sheriff's Police Department. Teresa Downey, Sharon and Patty, cherished uncle of Joe, Megan, Tom, Tyler, and Corey, the great uncle to Adrian Connor, and Evie. I don't know the circumstances. He was a young man, 51. God rest his lovely soul, Lawrence Lynch Jr. Michael Costello, Trant, Mike Trant, 74, of Elmhurst. Army veteran, founder, owner of Duffy's Tavern in Forest Park, a place that I have visited many, many, many times. Both of my sons worked there. They worked the bar. Mike was the beloved husband of Sheila, Nee, Duffy. That's why it was called Duffy's. The loving father of Tracy and Megan, Mike was a member of Alpha Company, 3rd Battalion of the 506th Airborne Infantry Regiment, 101st Division. He was a proud paratrooper and combat soldier in Vietnam, 1967 to 68. He probably, Mel Alamo might have known him. A Tet Offensive survivor and a Kurahee. He was also a gifted storyteller. He had a life well lived. God rest his soul, Mike Trant. Esther Foley, age 94, from Strand, Newcastle West, County Limerick. Beloved wife of the late Timothy Foley from Rean, Killorgan, County Kerry. Loving mother of Mary Kay, James, Timothy, and Noreen. God rest her lovely soul. 94, Esther Foley. Her maiden name was Mullane. James McAleer, 82, of Larne, County Antrim. Beloved husband for 58 years to Noreen. She was an O'Connor. Loving father of Karen Brennan. Proud grandfather of Hannah, Austin, Connor, and James. Retired 50-plus member of Carpenters Union Local 1. Jim was an avid cyclist in Ireland and here in the Chicago area. God rest his lovely soul, Jim McAleer, 82. And finally, Barbara Lang, age 61. A devoted mother of Robert S. Lang, adored daughter of the late Howard and Jeannie Lang. Barbara was only 61. I don't know the circumstances, but I do know she was waked and the funeral arrangements were handled by Sheehy's, where all the right people go. God rest her soul, Barbara Lang. Also, an old friend of mine and many friends of ours on the South Side, Greg Waldron. The one and only Waldo hung out in a lot of these bars on Western Avenue. I wrote about him in my book, Hooliganism Stories, although I gave him a pseudonym in the book. Waldo was, I'll tell the story later about Waldo and Mrs. Buck, his next door neighbor. But we all studied Latin, of course, in high school, and we used to walk around going, Waldo, Waldare, Waldavi, Waldatus. It's Latin. I don't know how to explain it. God rest his soul, Waldo. I hope you make it to heaven, or at least purgatory at the very least. You might be doing some time there. Also, the plug. You can close up the crypt. Let me get this plug in here. Tonight, actually, it's the end of the MS Walk, which went on today, and we wish our friend Tim Burns the best. He and his sister were putting that annual MS walk together over in Orland Park. And we wish them the best. Hope they raise a whole lot of money. If you still want to donate, you can send a check and make it payable to the National MS Society MS Walk. Cash donations are always accepted. Any checks or cash can be mailed or give him a call. Our old pal Tim Burns, he's our joke meister. Here's his address, 8039 South Costner, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Better yet, call Tim Burns, 773-551-5671. Tell him you want to make a donation to the National MS Society. His sister, Jean, is afflicted with that. My brother, Johnny, had MS. God rest his soul. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back after these messages from our friend. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated.
Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo. Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
Right. And wormed around his frontal lobes oh. and took him to a state of mind.
Mind, yes. mind, mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Welcome to Hoolytown. That was the one and only Greg Holloman doing the Hoolytown. He also just recently filmed a scene for our film, In Search of Weeping Jim, as the voice of God. Also, want to thank our pal... Tim Burns, who sends me jokes every week. God bless him. And he sent me a note here, a bunch of jokes. I got a backlog of jokes. And he said, stay well. I'll be listening. So in the future, don't forget my name. Tim Burns, we could never forget you. Some of his observations are, they say we can have gatherings of up to 8 people without any issues with the COVID thing. I don't know, 8 people without issues. Patty took 2 stuffed. We're going to need the rim shot for these, Billy. Patty took 2 stuffed dogs to the Antiques Roadshow. Oh, said the presenter, this is a very rare breed. Do you have any idea what they would fetch if they were in good condition? Sticks, replied Patty. Okay, waiting for that rim shot. Come on. Thank God my wife has multiple personalities. I'm quarantined with someone different every day. All right, this is good. This is all COVID-related. Another reason to wear a mask, you can mouth the words, screw you, directly to someone's face all day, and they will never know. Okay. Now, here's the classic joke. We don't have time for one more joke, and this is from Tim Burns. It's called Dismissing Someone. All the members of the company's board of directors were called into the chairman's office one after another until only Ted, the junior member, was left sitting outside. Finally, it was his turn to be summoned. Ted entered the office to find the chairman and the other 6 directors seated at the far end of a boardroom table. Ted was instructed to stand at the other end of the table, which he did. The chairman looked Ted squarely in the eye with a stern voice. He asked, have you ever had sex with my secretary, Miss Floyd? Oh, no, sir, positively not, Ted replied. Are you absolutely sure? Asked the chairman. Honest. I've never been close enough to even touch her. You'd swear to that? Yes. I swear I've never had sex with Miss Floyd anytime, anywhere, insisted Ted. Good. Then you can fire her. There's a picture of the secretary. All right, thank you, Tim Burns. We have a backlog of jokes. We'll be getting to them next week, you old rascal, you. Thanks so much for listening, folks. Next week is... Who's our guest? Dennis Fitzgerald, retired Chicago Police Department. And with the St. Michael the Archangel, Knights of Columbus, what a guy. They're having their thing tonight, too. They're there till 10 o'clock. Thanks, everybody. God bless you all. We'll see you later. Bye.
Well, I look down the road and I wondered just to see how far I was from God. And I buckled up my shoes. And then I started walking. And I started walking. Oh, I started walking. I just buckled up my shoes.